Welcome to Dolly Shares, a show where Dolly Howard shares her experiences, thoughts, and emotions as only Dolly can. This is a pre-recorded presentation.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to number 62, pre-recorded Dolly Shares, coming to you from Dolly World. I'm recording this to be aired the first time on Wednesday, November 6, 2019. Nancy Hopkins is the producer, and I'm Dolly Howard. And I'm actually recording this on Wednesday, October 23, 2019. So things might change between now and when you hear it live, or recorded after it's been aired live. I want to share with you my latest thought. Hold on. It's about, I don't even know how to explain it. That's why I'm hesitant, I guess. Well, first, let me read the angel card that I drew. So I have to pull up that file. I already pulled it. The angels worked with me, and I've already pulled it. Guardian angel, be open. Your guardian angel is associated with your crown chakra, and the sacred sound for this chakra is Om. It is important to have your crown chakra open and ready to receive messages from your guardian angel. Angel team, and other angels who are currently working in and through you. Ask your guardian angel to help you open your crown chakra. Begin by practicing quiet time and open yourself up to hearing messages from your angels. Your guardian angels, yeah, you could have more than one, have been with your soul through every incarnation. They know you at your soul level, and they do not judge nor criticize you. They love you and are here to help you. So give thanks to your guardian angels for their help. Thank you, guardian angel. And thank you, all my guardian angels, for all the helps you've given me, for loving me. Okay, now to what I really want to talk about. This is so crazy, y'all, but it's not crazy. So, bear with me. The following words that I'm going to say pertain to me, my life, and my beliefs. I in no way am saying these things to try to persuade you or convince y'all to believe as I do. I'm sharing myself with y'all because that's what I do. That's what I do. You don't have to listen, agree, or feel uncomfortable in any way because of what I share. What you believe is what you believe, and your experiences are wonderful, or they're horrible, or they're fun, or they're exciting, or they're not so fun. Whatever you've agreed to experience and take back with you. And in no way do I wish to interfere with your choices. I just wanted to make that perfectly clear. I'm just sharing with you my experiences and thoughts. I believe we are all here to experience different things. And a lot of us have connections within different groups from the other side. from before when we came here, who have agreed to help each other on this path. Mostly not remembering or knowing the agreements that we made before we came here. A person can be in your life for an instant, and that instant can be one of the major importance that maybe neither of you remember having agreed to with each other. But you're fulfilling it. You're helping each other through this experience. I believe we're all here with our separate and combined missions to complete and learn different things whilst intermingling with each other. We don't always intermingle nicely, but that's probably part of our being here and learning and being intermingling with each other. If we all came to experience and or learn the same thing, what would be the purpose of all of us coming here? Difference and diversity is the purpose of the endeavor. The goal, the aim of the endeavor, to learn the different things and be able to go back and put them all together and to learn over there from what we've learned here too. On Saturday, October 19, 2019, I was talking with God. I do that frequently throughout the day. I think of something and I want to talk it over with God and I do it. And that's just the way I am. And he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. So I do. Well, anyway, on Saturday, when I was talking with God, all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind. Because I am part of God, a piece he has sent out to Earth to experience human body life experiences, am I actually talking to myself when I pray in or talk with God? Am I talking to myself? It really stopped me in my tracks. I've heard that said before, but it never hit home like it did then. Religious beings would probably faint if I posed that question to them, so I couldn't ask any organized religion. That would be sacrilege in their world. How dare I compare myself to God? Who do I think I am? God? Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Because I'm taught you're part of God. Oh my gosh, there's a... Happens every time, doesn't it? I get started and there's the lawn people. I thought I was safe because my lawn guy was here yesterday. So, hopefully he won't get too loud and he'll go away soon. But the neighbor's yard needs cut too. So anyway, I'm back to this question. When I pray, when I talk to God, am I just sitting here talking to myself? So I'm going to take you through different things that I have experienced throughout the years regarding that subject. When I was growing up in the Protestant organized religion, I was taught that we are to strive to become as close to perfect as we can. Jesus is our example of perfection, but we will never be able to become close to perfection especially like Jesus did. So on one hand, we're told that we have to strive to be perfect in order to make it to heaven where God dwells and Jesus went back to. Yet, on the other hand, we're told that we're mere mortal, insignificant humans who will never be able to make it to heaven on our merits because we are so imperfect and can never be any better. We can only get to heaven through the grace of God, if He so deems. That's how I was taught. That's the first lessons I remember as a child, sitting in the church classroom in Toledo, Ohio. I loved that church. It was an old, old, old church. I think it was built way back in 1600s. It was brick. It really was a pretty cool church. I liked the oldness of it. Anyway, I diverse. Where was I? So, even as a child, I saw the inconsistencies in my religion, in my church peoples that I knew. I didn't understand what was what. What was I to believe? What was I to strive for in the sense of being able to make it to heaven? I was told to become perfect and love everyone. Yet, I was told I can never become perfect. So I wondered, why try? It appears to be a losing battle. Why should I even try? But I had to go to church. Sundays twice and Wednesdays once, and then maybe even in between. And every time you go, you got to give money. Even though you're not making much money, my parents weren't making much money. Heavens, I don't know how they did it. But you had to give money. So, I tried hard to love everyone. But it was impossible for me because I didn't love myself. Very difficult. I knew I was imperfect with absolutely no chance of getting anywhere close to perfection. I knew that. They told me that every time I went to church. It's hard to love yourself when you're taught you're no good and never will amount to much. Organized religion is really hard on humans. Really hard on humans. Especially when you're a child and you're being ingrained with all this crap and crud, and they push it off on you as if it's God's love for you. Yeah. We're going to teach you that you aren't nothing. You don't amount to nothing. You never will amount to nothing. But yet, they have all these things they preach at you. Just never ask them a question about it. I was taught that I was to love God first, everyone else next, and myself last. Maybe. As long as I didn't get carried away with loving myself, you know. How that goes. With, if you love yourself too much, then you could become a narcissist. Or you could realize that you do have importance to God, and He does love you for who you are. So you kind of had to balance that love for yourself. Don't do it too much. And there's so many conflicts in that theory. and I saw them. But being young and controlled, I couldn't figure it out because I didn't have a chance to think on my own. So when I prayed not so often. I didn't want to draw God's attention to me because I was so bad. Yet I knew I had to talk to God because I was told you have to pray. So I didn't quite know how to pray. And in church, they got these people, the elders, the deacons, the preacher. They preach such long and magnificently worded prayers. And I knew I could never match up to their words in talking to God. And I was so freaking confused. Really, I was confused. It was impossible as a child to love everyone, no matter the bad things they do and the bad ways they act, no matter how they treat me. Personally, I don't know how to love in the first place. I don't know what the meaning of love is. I see too much conflictions. At that point, I was a child being told to love, yet being taught that I need to love people who weren't living what they were preaching. I felt so horrible from my existence as a teenager. When I was a teenager, I felt so horrible that I would cry myself to sleep. Really, I would cry myself to sleep, burying my head in my pillow so I wouldn't wake my parents or my sister up. I'd be begging God to forgive me for being a spawn of the devil. Because that's what I truly believed I was. I didn't mean to be. I was born that way. I was taught, you are a spawn of the devil. In the way they were teaching. The church was teaching. It was so horrible to teach children and people that. That's not from God. That's not love from God. One night, when I was laying sobbing, I felt my bed go down beside me, like as if somebody had sat down beside me. And then I felt like someone's arms went around me and held me. And I heard somebody telling me, I was loved. I was not a spawn of the devil. God loves me very much. And he always would. He always did and he always would. And I know, I felt it. I felt the love, I heard it, but I had such a hard time accepting it from all the propaganda that I had been preached since I could remember. And so I would appreciate it when that happened, and then the next morning I'd wake up. And all over again, I'd be the spawn of the devil and wonder, how can I not be? What good things can I do so that I can pretend to show people, pretend I'm not a spawn of the devil? It was so frustrating, y'all. Thank God I'm through that. And I hope nobody else had to go through that. I'm old enough to have sat in church services, in church buildings, and at the church tent revivals, to hear the preachers and see them preaching that fire and brimstone stuff. They'd get up there and pound on the pulpit and come down and stand in front of you and arms flying in the air and flying at you, pointing their fingers. And oh my gosh, it was terrifying. I tell you, that was terrifying shit. Yet I was going there to learn about the love of God. Oh my gosh, what I was learning about was the hate of the devil, and I was going to hell. And it was going to be fire and brimstone. And I was going to burn for eternity. They seem to forget about preaching the love from God. They were preaching just the opposite most times. It was a scary proposition. So all this time I'm trying to work myself through all these conflictions in religion. Yet, at the same time, I was being taught there is a God, a loving God, but he's very vindictive. If you don't behave and do exactly what he says, there will be repercussions. So, eventually I was growing up. Slowly I was growing up. And I moved out of the family home and into my own marriage, had my own children, was raising them in organized religion. And then I started to look around for something better, because I didn't want my kids to go through what I did growing up. So I started asking questions of the church people, like when we were in Sunday school class and they would pick a certain section out of the Bible, out of a verse, a section out of a verse in the chapter of the Bible, of the book, of a book in the Bible. And they would always pick out the one that, the part of it that was the bad part. And so I would ask them. I would read a couple verses around it, and the whole verse, and a couple verses below it, and I'd say, well, what about this? The way you had it read, the way you read it to us, the way you talked about it to us, it was so different than what it really says when you read everything around it. Oh, they did not like that at all. You need to accept what we say and do what we say. Don't be questioning. Especially don't be questioning. This they would tell me on the side where nobody could hear. Especially don't question in front of other people. In front of the other parishioners. You just do what we say. Well, I always had trouble with that. And I would do it because I was programmed that way. You do as you're told. Keep your mouth shut. And it was very difficult for me. Eventually, I stopped going to church. My kids didn't. They liked the being with the youth group and all that. But see, they had me as a mother. Because, and they were in the Bible, what do you call it? The Bible Bowl. Bible Bowl. It's they would be in a team and they'd learn, memorize scriptures in the Bible and chapters, and then they'd go and they'd debate with other kids from other churches, and it was fun for them. I thought, oh yeah, that's a good practice. They're learning memorization and learning the basis of religion, and then they can make their own decisions, because they would come home. They always asked me questions, and I always gave them answers that weren't along the lines of what the church said, but it would be the questions that I had in my mind. And then we'd get the Bible out and go looking for different answers and see what the Bible actually said, not just what was said in the church by the church officials. And so doing that even was making me question organized religion all the more. And it opened the kids' eyes. Okay, this is what organized religion is saying. These are some questions that Mom was asking, and now that made them have questions too. And so they were getting both a variety, not both, but a variety of different views on who is God? What does God want from us, really? Why is God? Who says God exists? And then we would look around even at nature. I'd take them for walks in the park, because we had parks there in Holt and Lansing, Michigan. And I'd take them for walks in the park. I even took them to the Old Hope Cemetery, and we'd walk through the cemetery and look at the flowers and read the old tombstones and sit down by the little lamb. There was one special little lamb headstone where a baby had been buried. And we'd sit and talk to the baby and talk to God about the baby. And so my main goal was to show the children God is everywhere. There is a God. In Dolly World, I'm not forcing this God on you. My God, what I don't want to... I'm not forcing him on you. I'm just sharing with you what I was doing, what I believe. So I was teaching the children, God's in everything, in this blade of grass, in this flower, in each petal of the flower, in the stem, in the leaves on the flower. God's in the worm that just crawled up from the ground. God's in the bird that's over in the tree singing to us. God's in the clouds of the sky. God's everywhere. And he is a good God. He's a kind God. And he's also a stern God. He's like a parent. When you do something that you need corrected for, I correct you. If God sees we're doing something that we need corrected for, something that will hurt us or hurt others really bad, he steps in as a parent to try to point this out to us and help us to make a better decision. But he never forces us. We have free will. So anyway, eventually, I moved to Venice, Florida, where Annette, you all know her as my oldest daughter, where Annette, and I found a place that had the name Angel Ministries on it, and we were really interested, so we went there. It was a place where people gathered who did not believe in organized religion. They believed in God as a loving and sometimes scary creator and or source, the I Am. They believe in the angels and the spirits who exist. And yes, they even believe the bad beings and Satan's existence. It was a relief to me to be around open people who I could talk with about anything and everything. I could ask any question that I had. They might not have the answers, and they'd tell me, I don't have the answer to that. Maybe you should talk to your spirits, talk to your angels, talk to your guides, talk to God. Let's talk to some other people here that we know. Let's see what we can find out. If we can find out, even. It was very open. It was so, I'm telling you, I finally was at a place spiritually where I was free to explore. And it was so wonderful. All my life, I had tendencies of hearing voices of beings who weren't able to be seen by others. And I learned, don't say it out loud. Because they didn't see it, and that was a bad thing to talk about. Because it wasn't true. Even though I was seeing and hearing it, wasn't true. So I learned, temper it, don't talk about it. And as I grew up, I realized that was called mediumship, or I don't know the other word I'm trying to think of. And I learned to accept it, contrary to the popular belief, accept that it exists, and that I do have that ability. Some people I could talk with about it, and others I couldn't. And while I was going to the Angel Ministries group, I learned about the College of Metaphysical Studies that's in Clearwater, Florida. It's not associated with Scientology crap that's there. Oh my gosh, Scientology. Oh dear God. If you're in Scientology, please, please, please explore it beyond what they tell you. Then you can make up your mind for yourself. So one of the instructors who was in our group and taught was a professor at the Angel College of Metaphysical Studies, said she would be willing to teach us right there in Venice at the building where we'd go to gather, and we could end up with our degree. They actually have a mediumship degree. It's a 2-year degree, and you go year-round, no breaks at all, so it's 2 years, summer, winter, fall, spring. So I did it. I was so excited to be able to learn more and more about other things. So I did it. And I got my mediumship degree. I know I can hear people or souls on the other side. I can sit with people who want me to. Hold on. And do what we call readings. They can ask their loved ones questions, and I can tell them what the loved ones have, the messages the loved ones on the other side have to say to them. And mostly, it's, we're okay. We love you. We can come and visit with you every once in a while. We like to do that. We love you. Please, don't feel bad for us. Please don't hold us here to earth. Let us go. You let us go and we can come back easier. So it's usually the same things that they say, but then there's the personal that is shared with them too. But so I can do that, but I don't do it very often. Only when I see someone is really desperately wanting me to do it for them, then I'll do it. Let me think what else I can tell you about it. Oh, what I came away from those classes with was that God is a loving God, yet He's stern, that we are part of God, that God sent us to earth to experience what being a human in a human body is like. God doesn't know because God's spirit. God, creator, source, the I am, is spirit, so never confined in a human body in experiencing pain or hunger or joy, complete joy in a human body, or so the creator was interested in what does that feel like? So, I don't know how to say it. So God went ahead and kind of splintered himself off. I'll get into that a little further in a little while, and created human bodies for us to be in, the parts of him that he that the creator, the source, sent out into the human body. And then we take this knowledge back and we share it to the other, with the other parts that of God, the other parts that God put in human body form. I don't know what's next. I don't know what's going to happen once I leave this body and go back. I really don't know. I know I do not want to reincarnate here again. I do not want to do that. I will fight them tooth and nail on that one. At least I'm saying so at this point in time. I don't know what it's like over there other than what I have experienced over there. So I have learned that there is that, well, let me say this first. When we go back over there, we're going to take all the experiences we've achieved here. We're going to share them. We're going to share them with the Creator. We're going to share them with each other in our groups. We're going to share them. I know that. I know that we have the life review that used to terrify the bejeebers out of me. But it's not something to be afraid of, because that review is sharing what we have experienced. We're sharing it from our viewpoint. We're sharing it from how we have affected the people that we have affected by our words and our actions and our thoughts and our deeds. And we're experiencing how they felt when we did or said or what we did to them. So it's a good thing so that we understand more even, We understand the consequences of our actions. And it's not a bad thing. We're learning from it. So that hopefully we learn how not to hurt people again, how to love better than what we know to love at that point. So don't be afraid of the life experience. It's a good thing. You got a whole bunch of good beings with you, loving on you. They aren't judging you. They're loving on you, and they're with you as you're learning more and more from this earth life experience. It's not a bad thing, y'all. It's really good. That's what I learned through the angel ministries, and it seems to have been affirmed to me and others who have gone that far and come back here. And when we get out of our body, I have felt this, the agape love. Oh, y'all, just saying the agape love gives me goosebumps. And I feel all fuzzy. Good fuzzy. It is love that is all-consuming, all-accepting, no judgment whatsoever, pure love. That's what you feel over there. And there's no pain. Once I was out of my body, there was no pain any of the times I was out. I'll be talking about this on Jan's show this Saturday, which will be in October. So if you want to, you can go in the archives and hear that show, Jan's show. So I've learned that, and getting back to when I pray, am I praying to myself? Because I am part of God. I'm a sliver of God, like y'all are. We're all slivers of God. Of the source, the creator, the I am. And it's, how do I say it? So I try to look at it in different ways. In the way that I'm looking at it at this point in time, which I could be all washed up and who knows, but this is how I'm choosing to believe it at this point in time. I am a parent. Ergo, I have created, with God's help, of course, with my genes and my husband's genes, we created a human body. I nurtured it and carried it for 9 months, all of them. Well, except my first little guy. I lost him. But for three of them, I did for 9 months, nurtured them inside of me and carried them. And God put a soul in the body because he wanted the soul to have the experience. The body that I gave birth to was half me and half my husband. our genes, our DNA. And so I look at God as he's my parent. So I am part of him because he has put part of himself into my being. I don't know if that's a good way to say it. I don't know. But that's kind of how I'm looking at it. That's the best way I have to explain it. So we go back to the question. When I pray, am I talking to myself? The answer I arrived at is yes. I am praying to myself. But I am part of the bigger picture. So actually, I'm praying to the bigger picture of myself. So I'm not really me. I'm not really praying to the lesser version of me. Not lesser, but the broken off version of me. I'm praying to the bigger version of me. The main portion of me who I was broken off from. I chose to come to break off away from and come and have these earth experiences. So yeah, when I talk to God, I'm talking to myself. It's the main part of myself that I really need to talk to. Like our kids, they come to talk to us. Are they talking to themselves? Well, kinda. Yeah. Because they're talking to a being who they have DNA with. So yeah, when they talk to us, they're talking to themselves, but yet they're talking to the main part of themselves, and they're the splintered off part. Well, then when they have children, it'll be the same, and it goes on and on and on down the DNA line, DNA generations. Pretty cool. Now that I've thought this all out, I hope I haven't bored you silly. But if I had, you would have not hung up, but you would have what do you call it? Turned me off. You would have turned me off if I bored you. But I finally came to that conclusion. Yep. Which is pretty exciting to me. It's made me look at things differently. It's made me look at people differently. I got an awful headache right now. Mr. Spiral, please go to the source of my pain in my head and take it away. Heal it. And take the pain away. Thank you, Mr. Spiral. That's better. Okay. The older I get, the more exciting I'm finding human life. Because one of the things I'm learning is to relax and know that what I know is true in my world. I'm on a mission, and I'm doing a heck of a good job staying with that mission. I have these little side tracks every once in a while, but then But then I wonder, when I go off on the side path, was it planned to take that little jog and go explore something that way before I went on with the main path? I bet it was. I bet it was. So I'm doing a good job staying with my mission, with all the lessons in it. I know I'm loved, and I know I am love, and I know not everyone sees it the same, and that's okay. I know that I am here for certain specific reasons, and whatever else extra I gather along the way is an added bonus. And that's okay too. That's a good thing. So I'm not really... Yes, I do bad things. I do things I shouldn't. I say things I shouldn't. Well, I don't do it to hurt anybody. I honestly do not ever go out and do things intending to hurt anybody. It happens because I'm not perfect. And I realize that there's a lesson to be learned in that experience. So it's not all an awfully bad thing. It's a thing I shouldn't do, and I need to learn by it. And it's good as long as I learn by it. If I don't learn by it and I keep doing the same damn thing over and over and over, that's not so good. Because until I do learn the lesson in that, it's going to come back. It's just going to keep circling around, and hitting me until I learn that lesson. So hopefully, I'll learn the lesson the first time. I pray I'll learn the lesson the first time. See, and I know I'm talking to my main self, who is the creator, the source, the I am. And it tickles me. Freaking tickles me. So when I see other people and I see what they're going through and I look at their, what we consider struggles, and I know, hey, that was planned. There is a reason for it. A good reason for it, even though it looks horrendous and awful. And people say, why would God let that happen? Because you wanted it to. There's a lesson to be learned in that experience, even though it frickin' sucks. There is a lesson we came to learn, and I can't... all I can do is share with you what I have learned in my life. I'm not forcing my views on you. I do want to stress that. I'm really not forcing my views on you. I just am sharing this insight, these thoughts that I have come to, and that have come to me in some instances. The thought came into my head, and so I stopped and I took that thought and I investigated it. I researched it. I looked deeper. I asked questions of others about it, and then I came to my conclusion on that subject. That's what we all do. Hopefully, we all do. And this is where I have come at this point in my life. And I wanted to share it with you. Maybe I could answer some questions some other people had, but they didn't know who to ask, and they didn't. Some of you didn't want to ask the questions because you felt you might feel stupid, look stupid to other people, but hey, the only stupid question is the one that isn't asked. All questions are valid. And I am so happy with having gone through this thought process and with having the opportunity to share it with those of you who want to hear it. For those of you who didn't want to hear it, you could always turn me off. Just flick of your finger, you can turn me off. But I'm glad a lot of you turned me on. Oh my gosh. I just, having found out what I did with my health this Friday has freed me up some more in my emotional world. Knowing that my heart was a piece of shit. The poor thing had run its gamut. And the doctor did the heart cath and he saw that, yeah, one of my stents is 100% clogged and my other arteries and stents are on their way. But my heart has rejuvenated. My heart, he said, is what is keeping me alive, keeping me here. He said, Ms. Howard, I don't know why you're still here. And then he raised his head and he looked at me. He said, it's your heart. I don't know what happened. I don't know when it happened. Your heart is strong. Your heart got strong. And that's what's keeping you alive. Well, that's thanks to all the good energies, the prayers, the Mr. Spiral that Walt created and Nancy had him send to me, and to Mr. Turtle's energies, and to Derek having joined Dave one time to work on my heart, because I was on the way out the door at that time, and the angels and God worked on me, and they sent Derek and Dave, of course, Ho, and I continued sticking around here, and then throughout the times, other peoples have prayed for me or sent me good energies, and it's all due to that. You all have helped to create a strong heart in my body. It's keeping me going, and I want to say thank you to y'all, and I want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing your energies with me. And for now, I'm going to say to y'all, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dolly Shares with Dolly Howard. Thank you for listening.